Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. Now, all of us have adversity that we have to go through. All of us have adversity that we have to find some way of overcoming. And sometimes we don't even know the reason why we're going through it. Well, today's guest is going to inspire you in ways that you just cannot imagine right now. Born into a family of carnival owners down in Texas, Maxwell Ivey lost his sight at age 12, and having a natural gusto for life, Max graduated college and became heavily involved in the Eagle Scouts. He also worked in his family business alongside his brothers until his father succumbed to lung cancer. Faced with his own mortality, Max made some life-altering changes. He underwent gastric surgery, lost over 250 pounds. He started his own business, buying and selling amusement rides, and learned how to blog using software for visually impaired people. Overcoming many obstacles, Max made a name for himself online and now shares his experiences on his website, The Blind Blogger. Max's favorite things entail teaching and helping others to achieve their goals. So in addition to his blogging page, he has his own podcast called What's Your Excuse? And he also has a personal coaching and branding business. And he's a published author with his book, Leading You Out of Darkness into the Light, A Blind Man's Inspirational Guide to Success. Hey, man, now, all of this information is available on Maxwell's website at theblindblogger.com. Help me welcome to the program, Maxwell Ivey. Max, it is so good to talk to you, my friend.
Yeah, it is really good to finally talk to you. I think we met back at MapCon or Indie yep. PodCon or whatever he's calling it now.
Yep, the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference with Joe Pardo about 6 weeks ago at the time of this recording. Yeah, amen. And I have to say, Max, your talk was riveting for sure. I mean, that's why I wanted to get you on the podcast to share your story with our audience. How things been going since the conference, man?
Oh, they've been going pretty good. After that conference, I was invited to go to Erie, Pennsylvania and speak at an event called Disability Insights, where I would share my story of living with blindness and how I have managed to overcome adversity. But I also got to speak to a group of writers about using podcasts to do virtual book tours, and also to a group of seniors at a place called the Sight Center about the importance of their sharing their stories with us before those stories are lost.
Amen. Now, Max, the first question I always ask my guests is this: other than the brief intro I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Maxwell Ivey?
Well, one of the things I'd have to say about him is some of the time he's not really sure who he is himself, because there seems to be an endless progression. I've gone from 12 years ago when I filed for a domain name, not knowing how I would even manage to get a website online, to running an online brokering company, to writing, to traveling, to now singing in public as part of my speaking. And I never really know what's going to happen next, what challenge or opportunity is going to come along, what's going to pop up in my email where somebody's going to go, Max, have you ever thought about doing this? So I would say if there's one thing about me, it's a childlike, innocent approach to the world, that everything is meant to be an experience or an adventure. And the one thing I always like to remind myself is when I have plans, me having plans is putting limits on God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Now, you started off in the family carnival business, growing up around all that. You know, everyone sees the lights and the sounds, the clowns, and everyone having a good time. What is it really like behind the scenes? It's a hard life, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell people it's very similar to anybody that's grown up in a family of farmers or ranchers, or that has run a generational family business. This was before it became corporate and became a year-round business. We would travel about 40 weeks out of the year. We were never what you'd call one of the top shows as far as equipment or resources. So we rarely had everything we needed or wanted. I spent a lot of that time riding around the country in old pickup trucks and living in even older house trailers. And sometimes you get to a lot and you may spend the first 2 days getting things ready for people to come out and have a good time, and you may not have water, sewer, or electric. You just never know when you get to the next location what you're going to have or not have for the first few days. And as my dad always used to remind us, Max, they don't care. Nobody cares what kind of struggles we have during the week. All they want to know is, on Thursday or Friday night, can they ride the Ferris wheel and buy a bag of cotton candy? So you learn from an early age to find unique solutions, to find the positive in life, and to know that you really don't have an excuse, because even if you do have one, nobody wants to hear it. Your goal is just to get to next week and do that every week till the year's over.
Wow. Yeah. And as a youngster, I mean, that's even harder, because you're expected to pitch in. There's not much play time involved with that.
Well, during the week, once the rides and stuff were set up, there might be a couple of days where we were allowed to run around the Midway or play with some of the other kids in town. Although that was often frowned upon by the parents. Mm. But for me, because at four I had already started to lose some vision, they were always worried about me during opening hours. So when I was five or six, my grandmother started putting me to work, bagging the popcorn, putting the butter on the popcorn, putting the syrup on the snow cones, doing cleaning and other dirty work, and carrying heavy stuff. So, and, you know, by the time I was 11 or 12, I was working a duck pond, or a few weeks I worked I sold the novelties. One stretch I worked the game where you knocked over the milk bottle. So it would just depend. But I think for a lot of my young life, the goal was, let's just make sure we know where he is, so can't nothing bad happen to him.
Yeah.
But let's not let him know that that's what we're doing.
So what happened to your eyesight? Can you tell us that?
Well, I have retinitis pigmentosa, or RP. It's a degenerative disease, hereditary. It attacks the retina. So you lose night vision, you lose peripheral vision, and eventually you can go totally blind. I started losing vision at four or five. By the time I was 12, it degenerated to the point where I had to start using a white cane and learning how to use it. I started learning Braille. Had to get most of my textbooks and books for fun from audio and it stayed pretty constant until I went to college. And then by the time I graduated from college, it was down to what I have now, which is technically like perception, but I say it's a total blindness, because to me that's more honest and more simple for most people.
Yeah. Amen. Now, as a young child going through that, how did you handle that experience initially? I mean, we'll get into what you're doing now in a bit, but how did your faith develop during those times?
Well, I'm not necessarily sure it was my faith as much as the faith of the people around me, because, you know, I grew up in a family of people that were doers, not the kind of people who would get negative or feel self-pity. I went to a good school district where the goal was to keep you in classes instead of separating you from classes.
It's 10:30.
Sorry about that. When it came time to be teaching me skills I would have to know as somebody who would lose his vision, they made it seem like fun, and there's always something fun of getting out of school when everybody else is in school, no matter what it is that you're going to do in exchange, you know. Riding the bus from downtown Houston to back to my house was a little scary, but it was better than sitting in a class half the day. So.
Every day was an adventure, right?
Every day is an adventure if you decide it's going to be. You know, people think I'm saying that because it's a saying, it's a platitude, but that's the truth. If you can get to where everything is an adventure or an experience, then it will be. But the problem is it takes a lot of practice to get to that point. And yeah. I've had lots of practice. I tell people it's easier for me to get back up because I've spent more time on my butt than you have.
Amen. Amen. Now, you're still involved in the carnival business a little bit, basically behind the scenes of selling equipment. What's involved with all that?
Well, basically, people that have equipment that they want to sell that they haven't been able to sell on their own, then I list it on my website and I promote it through social media and through an email list and try to find people who want to buy the equipment. I'm not really a broker because a broker would actually handle the money and take care of the dismantling or transportation and reinstallation. They do the financing. I'm really more of what you would call a matchmaker, just trying to put people together, somebody who needs to sell something with somebody who wants to buy something, you know, and take a reasonable percentage of the sale when I can make that happen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's shift gears a little bit now. Now, you've faced other health issues over the years. I read that you lost over 250 pounds. How did you do that?
Right. Well, at one point, I was almost kicked out of a motel in Port Lavaca, Texas, because I wetted the bed and people were concerned about me. So I went to a doctor, and the doctor said, you know, if you don't do something about your health soon, you're not going to be around much longer. So at the end of that season, I went home and got with an actual primary care doctor and started, you know, first by doing all the tests to find out how bad off you are. And, you know, she immediately put me on about 7 different medicines for high blood pressure and cholesterol and gout, who knows what else. And she convinced me that I probably had sleep apnea. So she got me tested and treated for that. And once I started getting quality sleep and rest, then I started feeling a whole lot better about things. It allowed me to find energy and passion that I thought I had lost during the time when our business Family Carnival went out of business. And, you know, that just shows you how important getting your sleep and rest is to you and how dangerous it is for entrepreneurs to trade sleep for growing their business. At least, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't work long term for those people who are doing it. So yeah,
that's right.
Got me treated for sleep apnea. And then after about a year later, she said, you know, you're not really making any progress, but at least I know you're trying, which is different than most of my patients. And she said, I want you to go to a seminar, at least hear what they have to say about gastric surgery. So I said, okay, I'll go, but don't expect me to come back and say we're going to do this. Because I thought it was, you know, was quitting, accepting you can't do it. I also thought it was a quick fix, something that wouldn't require any effort. So I go to the seminar and they tell me, you know, this is not for everybody. It only works about half the time, because if you're not going to change your lifestyle before, during, and after having the surgery, it will, you know, you're not going to be successful and you're not going to keep the weight off long term. So don't do it. So I went through the talks with the dietitians and the nutritionists, and we changed a lot of stuff here at the house, like portion sizes and how we prepared food. And, you know, I started exercising more regularly, started drinking more water, and had the surgery. And within a year after having the surgery, I had lost over half my body weight. And
wow.
While I've had some health setbacks since then, I got the shingles, which knocked me off for about two months.
That's not good. Yeah.
I got very sick during a speaking trip last fall that pretty much took me out for 2 or 3 months. And a year or so ago, I had to have neck surgery to correct some bulging discs in my neck that were worrying them. They said I was potentially a fall could have caused paralysis. Wow. So,
yeah.
So I'm doing very well, in my opinion. I'm not at my ideal weight right now, but I know why, I know what to do to get there. And I'm on the road back to being where I know I need to be healthy long term. So,
yeah. Amen. I know I myself, I've faced weight issues most of my life, and, I've lost going on 70 pounds now in about 18 months. And so I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired for the same reasons, you know. So, amen. Now let's talk about your book, Leading You Out of Darkness into the Light, A Blind Man's Inspiration Guide to Success. It was published in 2014. But tell us about your book.
Right. It's a book that tells about my journey from before, when I was still actively in the carnival business, through the family's business failing, to how I felt afterwards, and then, you know, the things that went on for me to get back. And then it also talks about some of the things that I've used over the years that have helped me be successful, like you know, and most of it is not earth-shattering. It just seems like, coming from me, it seems to help people, because they combine these suggestions with the fact that they're coming from somebody like me, and it seems to have a little bit extra impact on them. But things like breaking the big goals up into small pieces, celebrating the small successes, having a community of positive, supportive people around you. You know, things that everybody has said, everybody knows, but the trick isn't actually doing them, you know. So there's 11 exercises in there that people can work through. And one of the things I did in the book is I included my email, and I encouraged the people to report their progress to me as they were going through the book. At the time, other coaches warned me that I was making a mistake, that I was opening myself up to free coaching, because people would take as much as I would give them through that email address. And I said, that may happen, but my feeling was, is if you're going to write a book to help people, then you have to think about why other books haven't helped them. And I thought, we all know people who have read the book. They've listened to the audios. They've been to the seminar. And when they get home or when they're through, they're still in the same spot because there wasn't that right one something in there to help them finally make progress. So I felt like if they had a person they could report their progress to, or possibly even reach out with questions or encouragement, that they'd be more likely to be successful. And so that's a bit about the book. That, and I need to update my bio because there's been two other books since then. There's the book I wrote about my gastric surgery experience called It's Not the Cookie, It's the Bag. And then there's the book I wrote about my experiences traveling to and spending 2 weeks in New York City during the Christmas and New Year's holidays of 2016-2017 called The Blind Blogger's New York City Adventures, How You Can Make Your Dreams Come True. And I'm sorry I didn't mention that to you before or send you those books. But
Amen. So you're continuing to write then. So it's just one experience.
Yeah, and I've got 2 books worth of material on my laptop right now that my editor would be really thankful if you'd be the person who'd finally get in my face and make me actually publish one of them. I have told people this. It doesn't matter how many books you publish or how many albums you release or how many videos you make. The next time you press send or publish, you have to go through that same conversation in your head again as to, why am I doing this? You mean people actually want to read this? you get better at them, but you still have to have those conversations over again. Oh, yeah. So I've got 2 books worth of material. I need to finish my editing on them and send them off to my editor, Lorraine, regularly at wordingwell.com, which I mentioned because she was very important in the process of getting all 3 of my books published so far. And I definitely believe in showing gratitude to people who have helped me along the way. Mm-hmm. So I do need to get my next book out there. I mean, it's October 31st when we're recording this. So if I send it off to her today, it might get published by the first week or two of January. And so, I really need to get moving on that.
Amen. Well, if she listens to this podcast, she's going to hear me tell you, just press send.
Oh my god, you didn't just do that. You did not just do that. When I spoke at Joe Pardo was the host of our event this year at MapCon. When I spoke at his event 2 years ago in May of 2017, that was my topic title. You couldn't have known that. No, I didn't. Oh my. Okay, now I'm just done. I'm going to have to just turn everything off and edit my butt off.
That's right.
That's the bad thing about being inspirational. People will throw your own words back at you. And in the last month, I've had 5 different people use the "I thought you were the no excuses guy" on me.
There you go.
So far, it hasn't worked for them because I've gone from the guy who didn't think he could do nothing but maybe sell carnival rides to a guy who thinks, well, I could do that, but do I want to do it right now, or does it fit my current goals? Is it something maybe I should do next month or next year? But you know, that's a really hard thing to get to because there are a lot of people who are like, I can't. There's no way that would work, or I've tried before and never succeeded. And, you know, they have to get that first little try out of the way and then try some smaller, some bigger and bigger things.
Yep.
And then you will get to that point where you're like, okay, somebody just said, I double dog dare you to do something. And I'm sorry, I just have to tell them no.
Well, the you know, I've written some books as well, and I get stuck in the let me just set it aside and I'll come back and edit it again later, because it's always never good enough. Well, maybe I can just do this a little bit better, rephrase this, and that's it. Just hit send, boom, gone. Let the editor take care of it.
Yeah, that's where you need a good editor. I'll hook you up with Lorraine after the show. We'll get this taken care of. We'll both publish and co-promote our books in January.
There you go. Hey, man, I'm still working. My draft isn't there yet.
All right.
It's about half written on the next book. But it's coming. You know, it is coming. Hey, man.
Well, let me know if you want. I'd be more than happy to be a beta reader and tell you how close you are.
There you go.
It's always easier to look at somebody else's mess than to look at your own.
Absolutely.
I mean that the wrong way. I'm sorry, but you know what I mean.
Well, that takes me right in my next question, because I briefly mentioned your consulting business. So let's talk about that for a few minutes. You help people to build their brands. What's involved in all that?
Well, the first thing I do is help them realize the power of their story, because a lot of people are doing good work, but they don't realize just how important their work is. Or if they do know, then they're not exactly sure how to express it or how to share their story in, you know, what we would call their elevator pitch, or what I like to call their origin story. You know, that 3 to 5 sentences that tells people who they are, where they came from, and why you should listen to them or buy from them. So, you know, that's the first thing. And then once you get them clear on their story, then you start reaching out to people, either bloggers or podcasters or radio show hosts, and you go, hey, this person here has a great story. You need to have them on your show, or you need to give them some space on your blog and let them write an article, or possibly answer some questions, or maybe feature them in a roundup post. So a lot of just introductions, putting people together with talent or that have opportunities for people with talent, and writing those emails, writing hundreds of emails. And you know, you said it just minutes ago, you know, you said, just press send. You'd be surprised how many very talented people there are out there who are working very hard, and they're building things that are amazing, but they don't know that in their hearts, and they don't have the courage, the time, the energy, or the experience to reach out to people and say, hey, I'm really good at this. You should feature me on your website, or you should advertise on my website. You know, And so I actually started doing some cold calling, some cold emailing, some direct marketing. And that's actually thanks to Joe Pardo, because in the beginning, I didn't think of myself as somebody who was growing brands. I thought of just myself as, okay, I'm an online publicist. I'm getting people booked on radio shows and podcasts, and that's it. But, you know, Joe, he explained to me, you know, you're really doing more than that, because the first thing is you're letting these people know that they're doing great work and that the world needs to hear their story as well as see their product or service or the work that they're creating.
Yeah.
And I usually do work with creative people. More often it's an author, a musician, a filmmaker, or a podcaster. Mm-hmm. Who needs more exposure, needs to grow the brand to where maybe they can start getting sponsorships or advertising, or where they can start doing joint ventures, just, you know, whatever it is that they happen to want to do that next thing after they get good at the blog or the podcast or the online magazine. So.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And you have a podcast as well, right? How's that going?
It's going pretty good. It's called the What's Your Excuse Show, and I interview people who have overcome adversity or thrived in spite of difficult life circumstances. And my goal is to challenge and explode the excuses people are making for themselves that keep them from accomplishing their goals and dreams. And I get to interview great people just like you, because we were talking about it before the interview started, and you were telling me some of the awesome people that you've gotten to have conversations with once you started your podcast. I did have some trouble about 2 years ago. The process of uploading the audio got to be frustrating and time consuming. And I decided, you know, there's nothing that says a podcast has to be audio. And at the time I was recording video, but I wasn't doing anything with the video. So for the last couple of years, I just posted the video to Facebook and YouTube, And some of those interviews were getting 200 or 300 views on Facebook.
Amen.
At least.
Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things. You get to the point, okay, just because everybody else does it, does that mean I have to do it?
Right.
And if I do have to do it, then why would I want to do something that's so draining that it takes the joy out of the process of having these conversations and promoting these people's stories?
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with my interview with Maxwell Ivey, also known as the Blind Blogger. Now, I met Max at a podcast conference back in September of 2019, and he just so impressed me. He got up and gave a talk that it moved everybody in the place, and you can see why. I mean, his story is one that will inspire just about anybody. His podcast, I think his podcast just lays it out perfect. What's your excuse? Praise God. You know, he has overcome his disability and is making a difference in the world where he can and how he can. So what's your excuse? Man, that's an awesome topic and it's an awesome name for a podcast. Folks, you need to get in touch with Max. I mean, his contact information is down below and his podcast links down below. He has great interviews on there. Matter of fact, he invited me, once we conclude our interview, to be on his podcast. So we're going to set that up as well. You need to come back tomorrow because we're getting into some of the good stuff now, and you do not want to miss it. So till tomorrow, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.